This morning, the gospel text comes out of Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there, and according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. But suppose him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him at the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us in this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I have to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Let us pray. Lord, today we just pray that you open up our hearts to receive what you have for each one of us today, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you will open up our minds so that we can understand your word. That, Lord, that we can apply it to our lives today. And Lord, open up our ears that we'll hear your spirit speaking to us and to our hearts. In thy name we pray. Amen. I titled my message, "Leaving Jesus Behind." Parents, have you ever left your child somewhere by mistake? As a parent, what was your reaction when you realized that you had forgotten your child? Maybe you're one of those that got left behind one time. Our son Seth has not forgiven his mom and dad because we left him at church one Sunday afternoon. Yeah, he did. He got left. We simply forgot Seth. He was out in the, it was a country church setting, and he was out in the yard playing with the other kids. We came out of the church, jumped in the vehicle, and took off. Never gave it a thought about Seth. The advantage was that his grandparents were there that Sunday, but he had come running after the vehicle as we pulled out of the churchyard, trying to get us to stop because he didn't want to get left. We didn't see him. Grandma and Grandpa brought Seth a few minutes later, and it's when they brought Seth that we realized that we had forgotten him in church. But you know what? Seth still reminds us about that from time to time and how he got left at church. We as parents had other things on our mind that Sunday, knowing that we had people coming after church to the house, and we ended up and came home without Seth. As parents, it was a feeling of emptiness when we realized that we had forgotten our own son. But for Seth, it was a feeling of rejection. His parents had rejected him. Today, our text is about Jesus being left behind by his parents. Imagine that, losing Jesus, losing the Son of God. I can understand leaving a child behind if he's a brat, one that doesn't behave, to try to teach that child a lesson. But leaving Jesus behind? A very special child that had been given to the world. It's really kind of mind-boggling, isn't it, that Jesus got left behind? I want to tell you something. That leaving Jesus behind is relatively quite easy for every person in this sanctuary today. I wouldn't be surprised today if there is someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in their lives. Now, if you are or if you are not one of these people, it doesn't matter if you know Christ or if you don't know Christ, please stick with me today. Please don't tune me out. Because I want each and every person here today to find out where Jesus Christ is in your life. Many of you have heard this story of Christ being left in the temple. Many of you have heard it in Sunday school. You may have even heard a pastor preach on this particular text at some time. Did you know that in Scripture that this is the only account of Christ growing up? Today, I have just 3 points in my message. So for those who felt I had too many points last week. So I'm going to give you point number one today. It's the loss of Jesus, or losing Jesus. It was part of the Jewish law, part of the Jewish tradition that all men were to go up to the house of God, the temple in Jerusalem, 3 times a year. Exodus 23, verses 14 to 17, explained about that, actually that chapter 23 of Exodus. If you want a little bit deeper on that as you're taking notes, make note of Exodus 23. And it'll explain to you about these 3 different festivals that they had to, that they were supposed to go to Jerusalem every year for. But people were being spread out throughout the Roman Empire. And what happens is they were spreading out, it got to be such a distance to get to Jerusalem for some of them, that all of a sudden the tradition changed, and tradition became that they made the tradition just the trip just once a year to Jerusalem. There's nothing wrong with tradition. We've all got it. But we have to be careful that tradition doesn't begin to get in our way of what true worship is all about. But anyway, as they came then to the temple that year, Jesus was the age of 12. Now, according to Jewish tradition, it was that at age 13, and once the young man had completed, at that time, it was called the Son of the Covenant ceremony. He became a man. Today, it's been replaced with the Jewish bar mitzvah ceremony, where the Jewish young man becomes a man at age 13 once he has completed that ceremony. And so, as we read Scripture, we begin to understand that Joseph took his responsibility very seriously, and he took his family to go to Jerusalem to go to the house of God, go to the temple. He was fulfilling his duties as the head of the household. It would appear that both Joseph and Mary are very religious as we begin to study Scriptures. We begin to understand who Mary and Joseph were. And so they were making this journey every year. But on this particular journey, they left Jerusalem without Jesus. Maybe this is the first, maybe if this was the first time somebody had read this account, their first reaction would be to think that Joseph and Mary were totally irresponsible parents, parents that didn't give a care about their son. People reading this the first time would think that they neglected their parental rights and responsibilities. But just imagine this for a moment. They can travel a whole day without knowing that you left Jesus behind. How often do we leave home and travel the entire day without thinking about Jesus? Do we understand how easy it has become to leave Jesus behind? So I don't want you to condemn Joseph and Mary. Don't condemn them as parents, because as they traveled in a caravan in those days, it was often hard to know where everybody was, because oftentimes when they traveled, the children would play together on the road, and they traveled in a caravan for safety reasons. Okay? But the women often traveled separate from the men. They weren't intermixed. Some of that old tradition again. And so they were traveling, and they come to the end of the day, and Mary and Joseph came together. And what was the realization? They could not find Jesus. Well, that very same thing happened to Sharon and I when Seth was about a month old. It was a Christmas Eve service. At that time, I was a chairman of a congregation and one of the deacons and a small congregation. So there was always plenty of things to do to get things ready for the service. And pastor and I and the other deacons got together for prayer before the service, and we went into the prayer room. And Sharon was doing what she needed to do to get things ready, her responsibilities that night. And we always sat in the third pew from the front at that time with our family. And we got done praying, and I come up the aisle and slid into the third pew next to Sharon. And the look on Sharon's face and the look on my face as we looked at each other, with both of us had empty arms. Poor Seth. This has been a problem going on for 18 years. We can't seem to hold on to him. I kind of half stood up and scanned the congregation. There was a grandmother cuddling Seth. Seth was the kind of a cuddly baby that would go to anybody at that stage, didn't care, as long as it was some warm arms that would hold him. The elderly ladies of the church just loved it. In fact, we had a chance, Sharon and I, during our vacation, to stop and visit with this grandmother that held Seth 18 years ago. She turned 98 years old on Friday of this past week. As we sat and visited with her, she brought up the fact that we were looking for Seth on that Christmas Eve service. She remembered. Her mind is very clear. But she still was watching the facial expressions of us as we were trying to figure out where Seth was. That is a human example. But think about the terror, the horror that had to have gone through the minds and the hearts of Mary and Joseph. All of a sudden coming out to the fact that Jesus wasn't there. Their son. The one that God had given them as the Savior of the world to raise, and they had lost him. How could they lose Jesus? Have you lost Jesus? How many people box baby Jesus up after Christmas and do not think about Jesus until next year at Christmas time? The problem with parents are that we are so engrossed in our own business. Now, there's nothing wrong with what we're doing as parents. You know, even Joseph and Mary, they were obeying the Jewish tradition and the tradition law and went to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple. That's what God wants us to do. They fulfilled their religious as well as the requirements of the law by going and spending time in the temple. As parents, they were involved getting ready for the journey to go home. And their priority was not Jesus Christ. Their priority was on the wrong thing. They were distracted. And what happened? They left Jesus behind. It's so easy to get distracted from God's priorities. You know, we fill our lives with all kinds of good things. Just as Joseph and Mary did. They filled their lives with making sure they went to the temple and fulfilled the law to worship God. So oftentimes when we get our lives filled with all these good things, we too leave Jesus behind. Because these good things aren't necessarily the priorities that Jesus has for your life and mine. In the morning, the starting pistol goes off in our homes. We're up and we're out the door. The kids are off to school. Mom and dad are off to work. And did we take time for Jesus? Did we leave Jesus sitting on the shelf? Did we even stop and thank him for a good night's sleep? Did we take time and thank him for that breakfast that we so quickly gobbled down before we went out the door? Oh, it's easy to get distracted. It's so easy to leave Jesus behind. You know what it really does, though, this all comes down to it, is that there's a question here. What is God's thing? What's God's priority for our lives? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, there's five things that I listed that kind of come up that we should be, that are God's things that he wants us to do. The first thing is we should be worshiping him by giving him the praise the honor, our tithes, and so on. All, we're to give them our all. Too many people today worship their money. They worship their families or their kids. They worship their weekends free from going to work. Well, we need to be reminded that God is the only person, the only thing that we are to worship. The second thing is we need to become disciplined in our own lives. And when I talk about being disciplined in our own lives, that means that we are to glorify Him by becoming like Christ. Getting away from thinking about ourselves. Learning to obey Him. Learning what God's will is for our lives. That's how we become like Him. Thirdly, we glorify God by fellowshipping as a part of the body of believers. By learning to work together with those around us. Fourthly, we glorify God by ministering to those who are around us. To those that we serve. And the fifth thing in this is that in glorifying God, it means getting involved with missions. The work of missions is telling someone about Jesus Christ. Tell them about God's love. That's what missions is all about. There's all kinds of missions we can support, but there's a mission field within each one of us that we're to take and use with those around us. So have we left Jesus because of the priorities in our lives and have placed His priorities to the side? That's exactly what happened to Joseph and Mary, didn't it? They'd been worshiping. They'd been glorifying God in service. And now they were ready to move on. They'd done their duties. The next task at hand for them was their own priorities, their own program, and that was to step out and go home. They weren't aligned with God's priorities at that moment. They weren't aligned with God's timing. When was the last time you took and set a half a day aside to spend time in prayer and in God's Word? I have served churches that if the service went over the 1 hour, I would either hear about it before people left the church that day, or throughout the next week I would get several phone calls because the service was too long. I don't hear that here, and praise God for that. But so oftentimes, we just can't take time and set it aside and say, hey, we're going to spend 4 hours today in prayer and study of God's Word. Have you left Jesus behind today? Was He a close personal friend at one time? But all of a sudden, he seems to have become very distant. He seems so far away, it's like you can't reach out and touch him. As a church body today, I'm going to challenge you a little bit. And I want you to as a church body, to begin praying for an awakening. Awakening in the hearts of the people that are here. That all of a sudden, the hearts and lives of the people that are here change. And that change that's going to happen is going to be noticed by others. But we need to begin to pray for that awakening within our own hearts. Number two, the search for Jesus. Joseph and Mary had to look for Jesus. The first place that Mary and Joseph looked was amongst the relatives and the acquaintances that were around them. So oftentimes we try to have a relationship with God by tying into the people around us. Having a relationship with God by not having a relationship with God, but having a relationship with those who seem to have a relationship with God is another way of putting it. If I do all of the things that my religious parents did, then I should be okay. How many times have we heard that? My parents went to church. My parents did this. My parents prayed. My parents had devotions. And all of a sudden, it's like, but what are you doing? What's your personal testimony? What is your feeling that God is working on in your life? Just borrowing someone else's faith is what people are trying to do today. But let me tell you that secondhand faith is no faith at all. Faith must be personal. Must be personal. The relatives of Joseph and Mary, they couldn't help with the search for Jesus. They had to search for Jesus themselves, just as you must search for Jesus yourself. We cannot ride into heaven on the shirt tails of our grandparents and our parents. We have to make our own commitment to Jesus Christ. For some of us, searching for Jesus can take some time. For Joseph and Mary, it took 3 days. They looked everywhere. As parents, they were beside themselves. Their success was delayed in finding Jesus, because they looked in all of the wrong places. Do you think that just for maybe a moment that we could learn from the mistakes of Mary and Joseph? So many of us have to make our own mistakes to learn. We so often try to teach our children not to make the same mistakes we did as teenagers, as young adults. We try to make sure they're on the right path. But I think we should take at least make note of what Mary and Joseph did, that they were searching all the wrong places. Because when Mary and Joseph found Jesus, it was an emotional time for Mary. Listen to what part of verse 48 says. This is Mary talking. "Son, why have you treated us this way?" Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. You see that? You see that emotion just pouring out of Mary? Isn't it funny how we often blame God for moving? Mary was blaming Jesus. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. It all started back then. Nobody wanted to take responsibility. Everybody wanted to blame somebody else. Adam wasn't going to take responsibility. It was Eve's fault. Eve wasn't going to take responsibility because it was the devil's fault. The devil made me do it. It was still happening. Mary quickly blames her son. It isn't God that moves away. It's almost like she's saying, Jesus, why did you leave me? Why did you walk away from me? Well, Jesus wasn't the one that walked off. Mary and Joseph are the ones that left him behind. Jesus does not put a distance between our relationship. We're the ones, because of sin, because of that old nature within us, we're the ones that cause that relationship damage. Number three, the third point. Finding Jesus. Where was Jesus found? Jesus was found in the temple. And listen to the first words that are recorded in Scripture that Jesus spoke. Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Here is Jesus in his Father's house, doing his Father's business in the presence of God. And what's Jesus doing? Jesus is learning. He's sitting at the feet of the teachers. Jesus is setting an example for you and I to be learning. He was like a young sponge, 12 years old, just hungry to know what about God's word. He wanted to learn all that he could. He questioned, he answered. But he showed an interest in what he was being taught. How many times have we become, in our society, is that nobody can teach me anything. I already got it all. I know it all. Oftentimes we end up in fall when we begin to have that attitude. Here Jesus was on the verge of manhood, soaking up and learning. Learning was a top priority for Jesus Christ. That should be your priority, my priority also. Think about it for a minute. How do you learn about Jesus? Well, some of you might answer, well, I've gone to Sunday school, so, and I've gone to church all my life, so I think I know a lot about Jesus. I even, you know, take notes. And then there's some of us, it goes in one ear, but it comes right on out the other. We don't pay a bit of attention. How many of you have devotional time or a time with Jesus every day? How many of you seriously look at God's word? Are you listening to God's word and letting it tell you how you should be living your life? How many of you truly want to take your Bible and unpack it? How many of you really want to know what God's word has to say. Well, open it up. Study it. So many times we want to use the excuse, I can't understand it. But if you're truly serious about finding Jesus, and we need to be more like him, Jesus is seeking us every day. He's there. He's calling. But once he calls, then we need to dig in. We need to learn more about him. That's our priority at this point. That means a daily devotional time. It means a time of Bible study, personal. It means a group Bible study. And it means a time of congregational worship on a weekly basis. We need to become accountable to one another in these areas in our lives. Find a good Christian person to hold you accountable, that they can call you and say, did you have your devotions? Did you spend time with your personal Savior? That person call you and say, how come I didn't see you at Bible study last night? How come I missed you in church this morning? And once we start to become accountable to one another, things are going to change. Some of us may have to rearrange some things in our lives, get rid of some of those priorities that we think are so important. Might mean that we have to give something up. What I'm asking you to do, it's difficult. But I believe that if we all make that same commitment, and we attempt follow God's word, we're going to see results within our lives and within our church that we've never seen before. So today, have you lost Jesus in your life? Have you left him behind? You need to stop in your tracks and you need to turn around and go back to him. Let's all get back to God's priorities instead of our own priorities. And if you're truly seeking Christ today, I want to pray with you. One of my deacons, many good Christian people in this church want to pray with you. But I don't want you to put it off. I don't want you to leave until you have it right with Christ today. I'll guarantee you that your ride won't leave without you. Because Jesus is calling. Calling each and every one of us to make a commitment today. Maybe we need to recommit our lives to Christ. As Jesus calls, answer. Because today is the day. Lord, again today, I just thank you. Thank you for who you are. Lord, are you changing? Are you working in the hearts of the people today? Lord, do we need to take a time of prayer? Do we need to do something different today, Lord? Maybe that's what it is that you want us to do. Or that we change and before we leave. Lord, today, may you work in our hearts.